People can and do change. I give them the benefit of the doubt. People can and do change. And I give them the benefit of the doubt. What does that mean? To give a person the benefit of the doubt is if a person says he's going to stop drinking, and then he falls off the wagon now and then. Is he really interested in stopping drinking? Yes. He falls off the wagon. That doesn't mean you're going to write him off as a failure. You're just going to say, hey, keep working at it. Keep working at it. You'll succeed. If you really want to, you'll succeed. It took you 100 years to drink yourself to this point. Now it'll take you 100 years to get off. No, you can do it immediately. So people can and do change. What is the indication that people can and do change? What sort of things are going on in your life, in your world, that show that people can and do change? Well, Mariella is one thing. Ellen was saying that Mariella was always a very gentle, caring girl, but she had never seen her write such a lovely note as she wrote, and had never seen her be so in charge of herself as she was during the passing of her dad, you know. Now, Mariella was not in charge. You see, when Mariella got married, you may have heard this story, she went for her honeymoon down to Mexico City, from Switzerland. And she chose a time of activity. She thought, we will arrive in Mexico City and get into our hotel suite, which is a special suite. It's a little house, you know, they're old little houses, and they have a little house. And we will go to bed just at the time the great earthquake will shake up Mexico City. And so she and her husband were there at the moment that the earthquake shook. And her husband said, oh, what's going to happen to us? You know, and she says, it's all right, dear. I've taken care of everything. We are all surrounded by the pure white light of love, and everything's okay. But. And then they looked out the door, and they looked out the windows, and everything was falling all around them, you know, just demolished. And their little house stood. And he says, Mariella, you're wonderful. She says, yes, I know. No, she didn't do that. But she was steady, and she was firm. Then there was no way to call Ellen, and so she said, well, I think I'll use my internal telephone. And so she mentally called Ellen and said, don't be fearful of Mexico City. Everything's okay here. Everything's just fine. And so Ellen felt confident, and she didn't know why she felt confident, but she felt confident. So later when Mariella did call through, Ellen said, yeah, I felt you were in good shape. You know, everything was okay for you. But you see, Mariella had never had to do anything like that before. She had never had to stand up for any serious thing like an earthquake. How many of us do? And yet she stood up for it beautifully. She changed from the self-confident girl that she was to the super-confident girl that she was. You see? And you say, well, that's going the right direction. Yes, that's going the right direction. But how many other things do you know about where people have changed and perhaps changed more dramatically? Now, I'm thinking of people that we know, and the only ones that come to mind are the ones that are negative changes, so we don't need to mention that. They went backwards instead of forwards. But, let's just say, okay, Ellen, she went out and got Little Love, but she called him King. And so Little Love was so feisty and so...
Kingly.
Huh?
So kingly.
Kingly, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So kingly. He was in charge of everything. And he was a pain in the neck. And everybody found him a pain in the neck. Oh, he'd love what he wanted, but he was very feisty. And I said, well, we've got to change his name. We're going to change his name to Little Love. And with the name of Little Love, he'll be just fine. And so how long did it take? It wasn't long. A matter of days. And all of a sudden, he had completely switched. Now, why had he switched? Who is in charge of Little Love's attitudes?
Everyone.
Who's in charge of Little Love's attitude?
Whoever thinks.
His mother.
His mother, and whoever thinks of him, of course, too. But Ellen said she was his mother. Or did, or was it you, Ingeborg? Were you his mother?
Grandmother.
Part mother.
Part mother.
Yeah, well, I can't keep track of who's mother of what.
Part-time mother.
They don't look like you at all.
I'm not.
So, the love did change and became a very loving, a very caring, and a very wonderful, sensitive being. Now, we had another change, too. Yes, I'm talking about you. I'm telling how wonderful you are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, I mean, it's a compliment. So, then we got snuggles for May, and we were absolutely ready, I think, to let him go and be with May. I'm not sure what was going on in all of your minds, but when we got there, May was very receptive, but it didn't work out. And so Snuggles came home with us again. And who was it who immediately snuggles all the way home and everywhere that they could? Well, it was our abbot, who said we possessed nothing. But she is probably the biggest failure of all of us, because Snuggles is possessing her. And she's letting it happen. Yes, Snuggles. That's you I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You're possessing her. Now, do you know what you're doing to our abbot? You're messing her up. He says, I really don't want to hear this.
Exactly.
He backs away. But, you know, there was a big change, too. There was a big change. Oh, and look at the change with Ray and May. Mm-hmm. That was 30 years old. And one moment I just said, I'd like to take some of your roses to May. He says, take all you want. Tell her they're from me. Boom. Really? You know. And so I did. And it just flipped both of them into a whole new attitude of mind. And I think that's wonderful. But who would have guessed that my asking for his roses, I had asked for them before. I had visited him a number of times and then went to see May. And I always would ask him for his roses or his lilacs or his iris or whatever it was blooming. He said, sure, take what you want. But this time, it was his idea to say, and say it from me. And I thought, wow, are we making strides here? And then when I told May, she says, I could kiss him, I could kiss him, I could eat him up, you know. And I thought, wow, I have never heard May say anything so flip-flop as that. Because, you know, she's usually very consistent. But, man, that was great. I just felt on top of the world. But I had been in the process of having changed ideas about it. I was seeing them responding to each other and loving each other, and I was creating them this way. And then when the moment came for them to do it, how is it going to work out? Where is it going to come from? Who's going to make it happen? How are they going to ever meet each other? How are they going to talk to each other to make up? You know, we don't know. And so then I said, come out for a birthday party. I said, sure. I'll see if my calendar is free first, you know. But sure. And he came up, and everybody was there. All the brothers and sisters were there. It was just the grandest reunion we could ever imagine. That had been a long time coming, and wonderful. But you see, that's change. That's real change. And we have to believe in change. We have to believe that these beneficial things can happen. Because we look at it and we say, oh, look at that war going on. And then what do we say?
There's peace on earth and it has to go with me.
Oh, you messed it up. Now there's no war anymore. Can't you leave it alone? No, because you're not about to be changed by someone else's attitudes, are you? You're a master of your attitudes. So you say there's peace on earth, and it has begun with me. And that's exactly what it is. Now, what do those people over there, whatever the names are, who are fighting, what are they going to say when you say there's peace on earth and it's begun with you?
And so it is.
Right. Are they going to get angry at you for messing up their war? For messing up their economical program? You know, It's interesting. The nations of the world can take trillions and zillions of dollars and spend it on blowing up things. And they cannot even spend that much money on benefiting the people of the earth with peaceful conditions. Building, hey, wouldn't that be something? I think that would be a great experience if the United States would take on the privilege of building and stocking hospitals in every major city of the world. Wouldn't that be something? Hey, they'd make money too, you know, really. They'd make money. But the thing is, building and stuff. Because people like to invest in hospitals because they're good money makers. But just imagine if the United States would build a hospital in every major city of the world. Wow, you know? Some would pay off, some wouldn't, but it wouldn't matter because that's the money they would invest for war. The trillions of dollars that they're spent in that. Wouldn't that be a lovely change?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, dream your wildest, craziest, stupidest, dumbest dream that surely could never happen and watch it happen. Watch, wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? You know, Andrew Carnegie?
Mm-hmm.
Who's he?
Well, I only know that Carnegie Hall.
Yeah, well, that's right, too. Andrew Carnegie was a multi-millionaire at the time. Being a multi-millionaire was being a multi-billionaire today, or better. And he owned steel mills and factories and all sorts of stuff. He was very, 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 very well. You know what he did? He went to every known city in the United States and built the library. He didn't personally go there. He just ordered a library to be built, Carnegie Library, in every city. And then it was a public library without his name. They had a statue of him in front of it, of course, but without his name. It just, but it's the Jamesville Public Library, you know, the Wauwatosa Public Library. Every little city had a public library. Wow. And nice, and filled with books. Filled with all the books. And just imagine how the publishers loved him.
Mm-hmm.
But they put books in every one of them. And they're still standing. We were in some little towns that we drove through. And I said, Ellen, look at that library. A beautiful pillared building, you know, not too deep because it was a very small community. The community had maybe about 8,000 people, but it was deep enough, and that was their library, and had been since the 20s when he built them. Beautiful. But you see, if a one man can do something like that, imagine what a nation could do. You know, a nation could build like hospitals. It could build libraries for the world. You don't need libraries nowadays. It's computers and televisions and stuff like that. But could that change? Wouldn't that be a great change? Boy, I tell you, that'd be a fantastic change to see something like that. Now, what about if we built police departments in every nation of the world? We don't have to do that. They do that themselves. What about if we build... what other kind of things?
University of Healing Center.
Right.
Why didn't I think of that? Build a University of Healing and a training center in every city in the world. You know, if that were happened, we wouldn't have any hospitals. We wouldn't have any doctors and nurses. We wouldn't have any drugs.
We would have only masters healing.
We wouldn't have, you know, well, yeah, you're positive. We'd have only masters. But wouldn't that be beautiful?
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't that be beautiful? Wouldn't that really shake up the Pollyanna of the world?
Pollyanna kindergartens.
Yes, it is. But what the heck, you got to start someplace.
No, I would make Pollyanna kindergartens.
Oh, yeah. Make it kindergarten. That's true.
But all the Pollyanna kindergartens.
That's right.
Nice.
No, that's great. But you see, why not?
Uh-huh.
Think these things and let them manifest. Because they're already manifest. You just haven't thunked
them. Seen them.
You got to think them before they can be thunk. And once you thunk them, then they can be had. But that's beautiful. You know, this is great. We have really, people can and do change, and I give them the benefit of the doubt. I look at the nations of the world, and I see them harmonious with one another. I look at all the leading governing bodies and see them interested in the welfare of their people and their nation. I look at all the governing bodies of the world operated by people who are independently wealthy, who operate the government as a joy, not as something to milk, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Something to take money from, but
a
rather to...
A fun task. That it is a fun task.
But it's a challenging fun task. It's a thrilling fun task that uses all of their energies and their genius. But wouldn't that be something? And wouldn't it be something if all the doctors in the world were Ilya Masaneri? They did it because they were independently wealthy, and they did it just because they loved being doctors. Would some great changes take place? Wouldn't some useless operations cease and some necessary operations take place?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness sake. And, of course, as you carry it further, there'd be no need for the doctors and the hospitals and things like that. But let's go step by step. Let's go step by step in this. As Anita so wisely tells us, we should have
Pollyanna Kindergarten.
The Pollyanna Kindergarten first. Now, why did you want to stop there, or not stop there? Why did you want to have the journey begin there? Because it's a nice way to begin. And it's a positive way to think about things. And people who come out of that sort of a kindergarten are kind of nice people, aren't they? Kind of winners, every one of them. Well, that's great. So, people can and do change, and I give them the benefit of my belief in them.
Okay. Nice.
I give them the benefit of my belief in them.
That's nice.
I give them the benefit of my belief in them. Can any of us do any less?
No.
I love you. I have learned.